This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll talk to Chris Sims. He will join us on loan from NBC Pro Football Talk Live. He's got his quarterback rankings out, and Drake May can't be happy where Chris Sims has him placed. So we'll talk to him coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. That's the phone number. Operator Tyler sitting by. Take your phone calls. Say good morning to our radio affiliates, numbering over 400 now. And, of course, Peacock, our streaming partner. Thank you for downloading the app so you can watch this program. New hats, hoodies, and the great T-shirt, The First Prince of Dan's Air. That's available at danpatrick.com. It is the month of March, so it's merchandise, I think, for this month.
I see what you did.
Yeah, yeah, merchandise. How about that, Todd? See, I took merch and march and then combined it and I made it merchandise. It's merchandise.
That was quite clever, buddy.
Thank you, Todd. Best-selling flavors of Tailgate Moonshine, also available as well. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback, caused a little bit of a stir yesterday when he joined us here in the Man Cave. And we were talking about a variety of things with the draft coming up, quarterbacks that he likes, that he may not like. And then I posed the question, if the Bears draft Caleb Williams, and then I said, finish the sentence.
If they take him, I would be, you better be under the understanding that that you're going to sit him this year. And that's not going to happen. So
why would you sit him?
Well, because 75% of what he made him so great in college is not transferable to the NFL. He's not going to be able to do that. He can't do what he did in college 75% of the time and be successful at the NFL level. He can do the 25% part at the NFL level, but he needs some time. He needs to get under center. He needs to understand how to throw on time, on platform, from the pocket. What he can do off platform is what makes it exciting, because he may be one of the most talented quarterbacks in this year's draft, in many.
You had radio talk show hosts. They were saying that Ryan Leaf, what does he know? He was a bust. He does know because he was a bust. He said he should have sat his first year in San Diego when the Chargers were in San Diego. He needed to. He needed to kind of figure out what the NFL life on and off the field was all about. Now, is Caleb Williams a cautionary tale here? I have no idea. But if you're going to compare him to Patrick Mahomes sat his first year behind Alex Smith. Now, we know how that's worked out. They were 12-4. They were already a good team, an established team. They didn't need him to come in and play right away. The Bears are hungry for a winner. And if you're going to draft Caleb Williams, you would want him to play right away. Sometimes you'll have battle scars. You'll get PTSD by being out there, and all of a sudden you get into bad habits. And then you don't correct those because you're still trying to make plays. You're still trying to be a one-man show. And you can't do that. It's really, really, really rare in the NFL. So what Ryan is saying in his defense is he did freelance a lot at USC. And he's not the first quarterback or former quarterback to say that. Dan Orlovsky talked about that. He said you can't get away with 6 or 7 seconds where you're running around and you're looking for a receiver. That won't happen in the NFL. But you are comparing him to Patrick Mahomes. Therefore, well, he's got to play right away when people aren't realizing or they're forgetting. Patrick Mahomes sat a year, and he talked about sitting a year, and he talked about learning from Alex Smith and Andy Reid, and probably helped him considerably. Tom Brady, he didn't start right away. The draft is littered with quarterbacks who did start right away and then those who didn't. And then, you know, it used to be you sat at least 1 or 2 years. At least. Steve McNair did that. I think he sat for 3 years. Aaron Rodgers sat. Carson Palmer, when he came out, he sat a year. So it's not outlandish to say it. I think people are reacting that way. Like, what are you talking about? Okay, that's just his opinion. He played the position. He failed at the position. He understands the pressures of the position. Therefore, I would look at him as an expert. Probably didn't think he'd be an expert on this situation, but he is, because he went through it and said he should have sat for a year. Now, maturity level, that could be a big difference here with Caleb Williams and Ryan Leaf, in fairness to Caleb Williams. Patrick Mahomes, dad with former professional athlete, he felt like he seemed like he was ready to go, but they drafted him, they went up to get him, and they had him sit for a little bit. So I don't think it's crazy to say it. I think in today's NFL, we're like, well, Bryce Young started right away, and C.J. Stroud started. Yes, absolutely. Well, let's see how Bryce Young does on a bad team. And the fact that he played, he didn't play well. Now you can say, all right, you need to be out there and you need to play. Quarterbacks will tell you two things. They'll say you got to be in action, you got to figure it out, or, man, it's great to be able to kind of see the speed, understand a little bit more about the nuance of playing the position. And I think that's what Ryan Leaf is saying. Hey, I would have him sit. 25% of what he does is Patrick Mahomes. It's the 75% that you can't get away with. And you won't know that until you actually try to do it. But that was the big stir yesterday that Ryan created. We'll talk to Chris Sims about that coming up as well. All right. Poll question today, Seton. What are you thinking about?
Well, why don't we start right there with Ryan Leaf.
All right.
And his comments. Mm-hmm. I might need some help wording this correctly.
Okay.
Okay. But if I was to say Ryan Leaf's comments on Caleb Williams are ... based in experience, or for clicks?
Ooh, for clicks.
There might be other ways to say that. They are smart and measured or crazy. I'm trying to give you two options here.
Yeah, I don't know if he did it for clicks, unless he was trying to help.
Because he's getting them, I'll tell you that.
I don't know when somebody's trying to get... Well, I do know when people are trying to get clicks. I didn't think that in the moment. Like, man, Ryan's saying something really crazy for clicks. I would use the options of it's crazy or, you know, it's measured and smart.
Smart.
Yeah, yes.
Measured and...
Crazy.
Or crazy.
All right. Sure, why not? Yeah, Paul.
Didn't Eli Manning sit half his rookie year or almost all his rookie year? That was probably pretty radical at the time. I don't know if that was radical at the time. I think Eli Manning, I got him starting seven. I'm sorry, he started seven games his rookie year. He sat the first half.
Well, also keep in mind that, okay, didn't want to play for the Chargers. He had the draft day trade, and then we're thinking, okay, this guy's ready to play, and then he doesn't play. And I think people were like, well, wait a minute. You know, you made this big deal about not wanting to play there. Now you go to the Giants. You're not even ready to play right away. But Eli did sit for a little while. Yeah, Paul.
Could you make the case? I wonder if you could do a study that quarterbacks, first-round quarterbacks that sat at least half of the rookie year turned out better. Eli worked out. Phillip Rivers worked out. Jordan Love appears to be working out. Rodgers worked out. Carson Palmer worked out. Mahomes, like, unbelievably worked out. All sat a big chunk or all of their rookie year. That's a lot of names off the top of my head.
Mm. Yeah.
And then how about a guy like Zach Wilson, who started, I think, week four with the Jets? If you had a do-over, knowing what you know now, sit Zach Wilson for a year? Sam Darnold. Even a guy like Jameis Winston. He's a kind of a gunslinger. He had some good moments and bad moments.
I don't think it would have mattered with him.
Probably not. But maybe he would have learned more maturity and discipline at the position.
Yeah.
Because he had a season with 33 touchdowns. I don't know. It always sounds radical.
We 30 picks.
No fans like hearing that stars are sitting. We want to watch.
True.
To the detriment of our franchise.
True. If you're going number one, chances are you're going to a bad team. What can you be the savior going to a team? And that's where I think we're misled. We're like, oh, we got our quarterback. Okay. I mean, Carolina might have their quarterback in Bryce Young. We're not going to know for maybe another year or 2 years if he is or he isn't. C.J. Stroud, we know he is with the Texans. But I think that's rare. And Bryce Young, you bring him in, you're going to be our starter day one, no matter what. You're going to have him play. I said at the time I would have sat him. I would have sat him because the team isn't very good. I would have him just at least understand as much as possible, absorb as much, and then when you get put into action, maybe you get a little bit of a cheat sheet that will help you with the test. When you go out there, guys will say this all the time. Game is fast. You know, everything happens so quickly. Every athlete is a great athlete. You're not taking advantage of people. And if you don't have weapons out there, you're not going to succeed. Plain and simple. No matter how good you are. I've said this before. I could put Patrick Mahomes on Carolina. He's not Patrick Mahomes. Just not. But you get him with weapons and a great coach, and he will take you to the Super Bowl again and again and again, as we've seen that. You know, Tom Brady said when we interviewed him years ago, and I said, what would have happened if you were a first-round pick? And he said, I'd probably be out of the league. I wasn't ready to play. So the greatest quarterback of all time. Joe Montana didn't start right away. I don't think Dan Marino started right away.
No, he shared time, I think, rookie year with Don Strock or Woodley or someone like that.
Yes, I think so. But, you know, the quarterbacks will say, hey, you got to make mistakes. You got to learn from those mistakes. But there's quarterbacks who never recovered, and they played bad football, and they never recovered. Yeah, Paul.
I got a couple articles here when Jared Goff was taken out of Cal in 2016. And there's some questions that said he didn't play a lot under center. He needs some reps under center. Let's maybe not start him right away. And they went with Case Keenum, who is a stopgap type quarterback, maybe a high end. And Jared Goff didn't start until the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Right? The next year he threw 28 touchdowns, was 11-4. The year after that, he was 13-3 and was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Marv.
Do you think it's pressure from ownership? Because, all right, this is our first pick. He's on the cover of our media guides. We have to play him now. And maybe the coach, who's obviously more inclined, you know, who's more experienced with football, is like, no, let's give him a year. But ownership is like, no, we spent number one pick or number two pick or whatever on him. Let's play him now.
Well, I think that happened in Carolina. The owner wanted Bryce Young. Frank Reich, who was a career backup quarterback as your head coach, okay, quarterback whisperer. And I don't know if Frank said, hey, I don't want him to start right away. Felt like the owner was saying, that's our guy, and he's starting from day one. I remember Sal Palantonio, draft night. He said, hey, they're taking Bryce Young, and he's going to start day one. And I went, okay. It feels reckless there. It feels like malpractice. Yeah, Seton.
But I don't know, like, Caleb Williams doesn't have a lot in common, I think, with a lot of these quarterbacks that we're mentioning. Because he's being mentioned more like an Andrew Luck type than, he's going to be the one that goes first. He's like, no. This is a sure thing. Plug him in, and this is your franchise quarterback. And you cannot pass up the opportunity if you're the Bears. This is a once-in-a-generation pick to take. That's not like who Jared Goff was. That's not like who most of these players that are taken are.
Well, but there have been a number of analysts, former quarterbacks, who have said they would take Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. So if he's a sure thing,
yeah,
you've got some analysts who don't agree. And you're finding more and more that it feels like Jaden Daniels is the sure thing. Caleb Williams will be good. And then Drake May, not quite sure about him. So in fairness to those who say he's a surefire, you know, can't miss, he's the next Patrick Mahomes, I always cringe whenever I hear that. Like, this guy's the next. And then the draft is littered with those guys.
But how did Jaden Daniels just become the next as the draft is approaching?
I have no idea. This happens every year.
It does, yeah.
You guys haven't played in 3 months. all of a sudden you're like, yep, that's the guy.
The one thing is for sure is that in 3 years from now, everyone is going to have called it exactly right.
I told you. Yeah, it'll be an I told you. Yeah, I told you. Drake May was going to be the best quarterback. Like, Drake May's going to the Patriots. Would I start Drake May from day one? Absolutely not. I wouldn't.
Sit behind Bailey Zappi and learn something.
Zappi.
All right.
Yeah.
Learn something.
Yeah.
Drake.
By the way, this first hour brought to you by TireRack.com, the official tire expert and retailer of the Dan Patrick Show. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. The easy-to-use tire decision guide, full lineup of Michelin tires, special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. All right, so we'll talk to Chris Sims, his latest mock draft, talking about the quarterbacks.
That's our other poll question, by the way. Chris Sims having Drake May as the sixth best quarterback in this draft is based in experience or for clicks?
Now that might be for clicks.
Now he's got a history of it, though, but... takes that are non-traditional, Chris. Going back to Lamar Jackson.
Takes that are non-traditional is such a nice way of saying.
I'm a very polite person.
Yeah, but he stands by these things. He does. He'll say, hey, I was wrong on that. Hey, I was right on that. Normally, he has something that you go, wow. I don't know if, I guess this is the wow part of his draft where he's got Drake May. Yeah, Paul.
A few Chris Sims hits of the past. He loved Lamar Jackson, said she'd be number one overall pick. He has two MVPs. He also loved Kellen Mond of Texas A&M. That was one of his favorite players of the draft. So he's got extremes of success and wrongness.
Yeah, but that goes along with the territory when you have a mock draft. It's meant to be mocked for the most part, and you get clicks. We're going to mock him coming up next year. All right, we'll get to phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. The gang's all here, including Fritzy. Back left, Seton in the back row as well, Marvin up front, and of course, Paulie as well. The backroom guys doing whatever they do for the next 3 hours. I'd rather not know. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Chris Sims. This is the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Today's Mercedes-Benz interview of the day brought to you by Mercedes-Benz EV. What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. The vehicle's all electric, the feeling all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ. We welcome in our good buddy Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, and his podcast Unbuttoned, former NFL quarterback, joins us on the program. Before we get to your mock draft, the latest draft here, and I want to ask you about what Ryan Leaf said yesterday on the show, where he said, hey, if I'm the Bears, I draft Caleb Williams, I'm going to sit him the first year because 75% of what he was able to do at USC, you can't do that in the NFL. The other 25% translates to Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm paraphrasing there. Your thoughts about that philosophy?
Well, I you know, listen, every player is different, right? But I'm still more of a believer in get out on the football field. Those reps are more valuable than anything, right, as far as learning how to play the position, what's expected, the little nuances and details. So I'm more of that school of thought. You know, I know Mahomes sat for a year, but I'd be one to sit here and go, well, I mean, he didn't sit. They probably still would have gone in the playoffs. He's that special, and who knows if he would have been better the next year, right? So I believe in learning through the trial and error. And where I'll disagree with that comment right there as far as Ryan Leaf, who I got great respect for, and I know he knows, you know, quarterbacking and all that. Man, Caleb Williams is a quarterback. I mean, that's the big thing. He's clearly number one, right? I mean, he's in a class of his own. I feel as confident about this, and you run to the podium if you're Chicago. I feel as confident about this as I did about, you know, Mahomes, C.J. Stroud, Lamar, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, whatever. I mean, this is, to me, slam dunk. And I say that not because I see Mahomes' magic and he's amazing at making plays outside the pocket and he's one of the most gifted on-the-run throwers, one of the most gifted throwers ever to come out of football, out of college football. He's in this draft class, he's by far the best in-the-pocket passer in the draft. He wants to stand in the pocket. He has the most patience I've ever seen for a college kid of hanging in the pocket with chaos around him and still going, wait, I'm going to throw the ball down the field. Other than Joe Burrow, Dan, I would go, he's the second best I've ever seen, and Burrow was special at this as far as evaluating him go. He's the second best I've ever seen as far as going through reads on the offense, on the field. Now, their offense wasn't good. It's not that good schematically. It's predictable. Everybody knows it. There's not much there. I'm not a fan of the air raid. They didn't run the ball. Their O-line wasn't very good. Their defense was historically bad. So that led to him to having to maybe force the issue a little bit there. But, man, the quarterback-y things, right, you want to talk about that, going through reads, appropriate throws, different types of throws, it's off the charts. Chicago should be running right now to the podium with the name in there. I mean, that's it. He is the man. He is the number one pick. He's as good as he's up there was as good as I've ever seen coming out of college.
Then why do you have analysts, former quarterbacks, who are falling in love with Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, Jaden Daniels is really good. Jaden Daniels is the number one draft pick in a lot of years. You know, that it's not Caleb Williams or C.J. Stroud or, you know, and a Patrick Mahomes in my ear.
But what's the biggest difference, though, between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams?
Caleb Williams is an out-of-this-world special thrower. I mean, Caleb Williams is like, it's next level. It's one of the, it's the power in the arm, the amount of throws he has, right? The sidearm throws, all the different off the platform, off back foot, off one foot. You know, he's got every arm angle possible. He can just flick it with his wrist, right? He can throw on the run as good as anybody I've ever seen in college football, either side, right? So I feel like, oh, USC was 7-5 and he had a little regression this year. So now we're going to just crap on him. And it's not right. Right? I mean, Jaden Daniels is really good. He really is. I mean, he is got great mechanics. He's really efficient in throwing the football, right? He has great control of the ball. His arm is real good, but it's not great. It's not elite like Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is in a special stratosphere there, let alone he's not as good in the pocket as Caleb Williams. That's the thing I would say. I mean, Caleb Williams, you get to see plenty of plays where it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and he goes through it. And he's got a great feel for what's about to come open, let alone he's got a knack in the pocket that only a few people in the history of football have. And this is, to me, the Mahomes effect. He has the ability to look down the field and still see the rush and all see it clearly, right? I was led to believe, Dan, I mean, if you just go by talk, I thought Caleb Williams threw 40 interceptions this year. Oh, and then I'm starting this process, and, you know, that's the first time I pull up stats, and I go, 30-5? And three of them were in one game? And if you look at the context of the Notre Dame game a little bit there, they're not that hard to, like, figure out, or I could even maybe, you know, give him a pass for the first two interceptions. He takes care of the ball at an incredibly high level, especially for the way he plays and the what he was asked to do to carry that team. So I don't know. That's one where I really like Jaden Daniels. And like I said, his ability to run, it is out of this world good. He's got good size to throw over the line of scrimmage. He can push the ball down the field, but making people miss in the pocket, not like Caleb Williams. Different arm angles. Jaden Daniels doesn't really have that. It's the same arm angle every throw.
You almost sound offended if somebody goes before Caleb Williams.
Yes, I would be offended. 100%. Thank you for saying that. That's what I, and again, let me just make this clear. I've never liked my top five quarterbacks more than I like the top five this year. And I put Jaden Daniels, as you've seen already, in a tier of his own at tier number two, and classified it as he's the number one pick in most years. Caleb Williams, though, is slam dunk. Like, I'm not making some proclamation. This isn't like some years where I've gone, well, I don't know, but I really like this guy's talent a lot, so I'll go with that, right? I'm going to do it, right? I might have made that mistake with Zach Wilson. This is one, and ignored maybe some of the quarterbacky things that I should have looked at. Caleb Williams, the quarterbacky stuff is off the charts good. Like I said, it's off the charts good, let alone, you know me, Dan, I always say this to you, I'm big into, does he take advantage of what's there? When people are open or the right defense and the read and all that, he's almost slam dunk in that category. And then when there's nothing there, man, he's as good as I've ever seen coming out of college football.
All right, let's regroup
yeah,
here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's regroup here.
I can't see you guys today. I'm sorry. I can only see myself. So
well,
bring me in.
That's what you love. That's what you love. Okay.
Thank you.
So Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk live co-host here. What if Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, and Caleb Williams were all available this year?
Wow. Yeah, you're really going to put me to the test here, huh?
I want to see how much you love Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the class of that crew there. You said Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow,
Caleb Williams.
Trevor Lawrence, right? Right. You know, listen, I would put him in front of Trevor for sure.
Okay.
Right?
Burrow?
Coming out, I would put him in front of Burrow. Okay. It's hard to say now because I've seen Burrow and he's made adjustments to his game and he's talked to me and how he got his arm stronger and fixed mechanical things to get the arm stronger, right? So as a prospect, I got to make sure I'm thinking about this right. Coming out, yeah, I would take Caleb Williams over Joe Burrow coming out. Yeah,
but
I would.
But you would still take Andrew Luck. Number
it's
one.
Close. It'd be close. It'd be close, but I'm telling you, that's how highly I think of Caleb Williams.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in that class.
So Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, give us 3, 4, 5.
Well, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, that's my 3, 4, 5. I have them in the same tier, right? It's very close there. It's a little beauty of the, you know, eye of the beholder, what you need, what you want there. Bo Nix to me is the guy that's not getting enough credit for his physical ability, right? You know, he's got a good arm. His arm's not as strong as Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. It's not that, but it's still strong. He doesn't need a lot of room to throw the football. He can throw 20-yard out routes and throws down the field with people around him, and he doesn't need space to gather up to let it go, right? He's got a very quick release. I would say his release might be second as far as quickness compared to Caleb Williams. And the other thing I would say, other than Caleb Williams, he probably has the most arm angles to go along with it, right? He's really, you know, fits an NFL offense as far as great decision maker, very accurate with the football, and like Caleb Williams, has a lot of different clubs in the bag, right? That's where I would say Jaden Daniels, strong arm, can make all the throws, but I don't think he's got the variety of throws Bo Nix and Caleb Williams have, let alone Bo Nix scrambling, right? Jaden Williams, clearly the best runner, no doubt about
Jaden
it.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels, I keep messing that up. Sorry about that. Okay. Jaden Daniels, by far, the best runner. Scrambling, buying time in the pocket, making people miss there, and then making throws? Caleb Williams and Bo Nix would be my second in that department, and that's big for me. But Bo Nix's plays off schedule are eye-popping. They are.
It's almost like he stayed too long in college. Like,
yeah. It's definitely hurt him. And then the screens, right? Because he threw a lot of screens, and he's good at it, their offense is basically like throw a screen or throw the ball down the field. That's what they did. It made sense for what they are. They got these jitterbug small receivers. They can catch screens and make people miss and get yards. And then, oh, wait, you creep up a little bit too much to be aggressive on the screens. They run by you and take a shot. That's what it was. But that's being used against Bo Nix a little bit, let alone, I think you're right, with his age and all that. I look at Bo Nix, and I kept thinking, man, Sean Payton's watching Bo Nix going, I like this guy. He reminds me of Drew Brees, except he might be a better athlete than Drew Brees. And I had a hard time getting that out of my brain. And, you know, Michael Penix after that, pure thrower, pocket passer, going to make big throws down the field, outside the numbers, total gunslinger. I don't think he fits as many offenses maybe as Bo Nix does, but you put him in the shotgun, right? You give him some protection, he's going to dice you up and make one big throw after another. The big thing with him, like Bo Nix, the age, and then the body, the injury history. He is a little bit of a frail build. That's going to scare some people off. Fifth, J.J. McCarthy played in the least quarterback-friendly offense you could play in, Dan. Like, I mean, come on. It's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Hey, it's 3rd and 13. You're not in rhythm. Now throw a rifle shot for us. And he did more times than not. He has so many good 15 to 30-yard throws down the field. He works the pocket like a pro already. And again, like Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, I would say J.J. McCarthy was third with different arm angles, throwing through little holes, adjusting the throws that way, and he can extend plays. I've never liked a five like I like the five this year. And, that 3-4-5 area is very tight, Dan.
Okay. Let's say the Patriots called you. Gerard Mayo said, hey, Chris, I know you've done a deep dive on Drake May.
Right.
We're thinking about taking him at 3.
Right.
What would you tell him?
I would tell him, you know, with all due respect, that's crazy. That's what I would say. Okay. I'd go, you know, listen, like, if you're trying to strike gold, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, okay, sure. But Drake May, and again, this is where I don't like my job, right? There's a lot, there's things to like. There's no doubt about it. If you watch a highlight tape, you're going to go, wow, look at all those great throws. And he looks the part. He's prototypical, 6'4", 230, right? You know, he's what people look for as far as those along those lines. But I don't care if it's the best game he's ever had or whatever. There is way too many throws and decisions that are not up to par to being a top 10 pick, a top 15 pick, a top 20 pick for that matter. He is a little bit of a project. He has mechanical issues. He makes throws, Dan, right? Even completions. I mean, go back, watch his game. He throws for 400 yards against Syracuse. 400 yards, I'm expecting, man, it's going to be one. He should have thrown for 700 yards. He misses people. Completions where I go, ooh, if he throws this on the money, this guy's going to run for another 50 yards. They got to go down to the ground. They got to go behind them. Or the ball's not even in their vicinity, right? So there's work to be done there. I feel bad by Drake May, just because I feel like a lot of unqualified people made qualifying statements and built him up to a spot. But I have a hard time thinking the NFL is going to look at Drake May's tape. And I think you're going to hear more and more people where it's going to come down more to where I see it as the really important evaluators get into this, because you're going to realize, wait, decision-making raw, right? Movement in the pocket, he can really run straight away, but hopping around the pocket where the NFL making plays in that little area, that's extremely important. He does not thrive in that area, let alone there's way too many off-target throws, and that's where I say he's a little bit of a potential project. That's kind of how I classify Drake May.
Were you this excited on your wedding day?
Nah, probably not. I was probably a little nervous and like, damn, I'm young and gosh, I like this hot wife I got and she's awesome, but I don't know how this is going to work. I'm not sure.
So are you more confident about Caleb Williams or the woman that you were going to marry?
I was pretty confident about the woman I was going to marry. I saw my wife sophomore year in high school and really kind of knew I was going to marry her. So that's a pretty strong statement, right?
Yeah, but it feels like you really, really love Caleb Williams.
I do. Like I said, I loved C.J. Stroud last year. I was in amazement last year where I was like, wow, a lot of people got him as the third quarterback. I couldn't understand it, right? I feel even stronger probably about Caleb Williams. Again, a lot of Caleb Williams problems, I would love to sit down with people and go, this has nothing to do with Caleb Williams. Look, nobody's open. Nobody's protected, right? This is a USC problem. Stop blaming Caleb Williams for this. That's not, and I think that's where that win-loss record stats, people look into that too much and they make judgments off of that too much.
Always great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, DP.
Thank you for the excitement.
Tell the guys I said hi.
I will. Guys, Chris Sims says hello.
Hi, hey, Chris.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up?
He doesn't love you the way he loves Caleb Williams.
No, definitely not. No. You guys aren't Caleb Williams. You can't throw the ball like he can.
Thank you, Chris. That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live. Wow. He was excited.
He was sweaty.
Yes, he was. Excited. Yes, he was frothing. Frothing. Yes, Marv.
Poll question. Do any of you guys love your kids as much as Chris Sims loves Caleb Williams?
How about confidence in their abilities? That's a different topic.
Yeah. I don't know if he loves Caleb Williams the person, but he loves Caleb Williams the football player.
I'm pretty sure Chris is lighting up a cigarette right now.
Oh.
He needs a few minutes if he's going to talk about this one again.
That was so good.
I don't know if I could talk about Caleb Williams again anytime soon. I'm going to have to regroup, if you know what I mean.
Come down to the kitchen the next morning.
Yeah.
Take a cup of coffee. Good morning, Caleb.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chris.
That was something.
Take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Mike Tannenbaum will join us, former GM, now working for the mothership. Paulie, do you have the smallest hand size ever measured at the combine for a quarterback?
Oh, geez, of course we do. You want to guess it? It's the all-time winner, Kenny Pickett, is an emeritus, 8.5 inches.
Are those the smallest hands that have been measured at the combine?
There are two that were similar.
Okay.
One was smaller. I'm going to give you the smallest because there's no way you're going to guess it. A kid named Kevin Davidson out of Princeton, 8 1/4 inch hands, Marvin. Ooh,
and he never made it.
No. Smart kid, small hands.
Yeah, he's probably a hedge fund guy worth a couple of billion dollars.
I've only got one other quarterback. I'm going to call him quarterback slash many other positions who had hand size that measured under 9 inches. He is currently still in the NFL.
Oh, I was going to say Antoine Randle. Well,
he's played quarterback and many other positions. He is known for running the ball out of the quarterback position and passing a little bit in spots. Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, 8 3/4 inch hands.
And he somehow made it.
BYU.
Got.
Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Yeah, the hand size measurements came in from the combine, and I don't know if anybody stood out for good or bad. Michael Penix Jr. III had the biggest hand size, I think, there at the combine. J.J. McCarthy had the smallest hands. Did he have the smallest hands of that group?
It's confirmed, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Woody in Pittsburgh. Hey, Woody, what's on your mind?
How are you, gentlemen? 6'2", skinny, fat, 250.
All
right. I am a lifelong Bears fan. First thing, Jim McMahon doesn't get the recognition he deserves. Had Charles Martin not ragdolled him, I think, you know, he would have had a very good career. And, you know, we don't have to go back to Sid Luckman for that. But you guys hit it right on the head. I don't understand why we just don't draft Caleb Williams. Keep Justin Fields. Let's put the franchise tag on him if we have to. And Justin Fields would look pretty good in that Taysom Hill role if he'd ever accept it. And those guys get paid pretty well, too, don't they?
Taysom Hill got paid, got overpaid. Mike Tannenbaum, former front office executive and now working for the mothership, joining us on the program. Trying to understand the smokescreen days here leading up to the draft, what's real and what's not. What are the Bears waiting for?
Dan, they should make this trade ASAP. You know, Ryan Poles, their general manager, did an unbelievable job last year. Got, obviously, King's ransom wanted with the first pick again. But every day that goes by, Dan, it's obviously not the market he had hoped, and he needs to cut his losses and get a deal done as soon as possible.
What do you think Justin Fields is worth?
I would give a third-round pick. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would pair him right away with Arthur Smith, who had great success with Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee. I think Justin Fields' skill set is very similar. He'll have better weapons in Pittsburgh than he ever had in Chicago.
Caleb Williams can't miss, in your opinion?
No, 82 sacks. He had, I believe it was 23 fumbles, and those are things that are definitely a concern. I think 60% of the NFL is going to like Caleb Williams one, and the rest 20% will be Jaden Daniels, 20% will be Drake May. So I like Caleb Williams, but those other two are closing fast.
All right, how does that work, though? The Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, it feels like they're getting a lot of positives here. We haven't played any football in a few months, but how much should this count of what's happening off the field as opposed to what they actually did on the field?
Yeah, I think what's happening, Dan, is like if you put J.J. McCarthy in LSU's offense and put Jaden Daniels in Michigan's offense, their statistics would look very similar to what the other has. Not saying identical, but similar. J.J. McCarthy was incredibly efficient, doesn't turn the ball over, can make all the throws. And I think, especially when you look at his Indy workout, I wouldn't put it in the class of what C.J. Stroud did a year ago, but it was excellent. And I think teams are taking like another look at what J.J. McCarthy was asked to do and how well he did it.
Wow. Well, first of all, he can't run like Jaden Daniels.
No, but he's built to last. I love Jaden Daniels, but he went to Arizona State. He was a 180-pound freshman. And if you and I were running an NFL team, Dan, we would have to ask ourselves, would this player be able to withstand the rigors of a 17-game season?
Well, we said that about Bryce Young as well.
Yeah, and the grade we could give him right now is a grade of incomplete. And Bryce Young looked at times last year, looked small. I think Bryce Young is still going to be a good player, but it's a very fair concern.
But also, we had Ryan Leaf on yesterday, and Ryan said, if he was the Bears, he'd draft Caleb Williams, but he would sit him that first year and let him sort of absorb the NFL and kind of figure out what you can and can't do. As a former GM, what do you think of that philosophy?
I'm 100% on board. What's the rush here? We want these guys to be great for the next 10 years, not the next 10 minutes. And for all the wrong reasons, the fact that Anthony Richardson sat last year is really great. You never want to see a player get hurt. But letting them sit, I don't understand what the rush is. We had Chad Pennington sit for 2 years. We saw Patrick Mahomes sit for a year behind Alex Smith. What is the rush to play these guys?
Help us understand the running back dilemma. If you were a GM right now and you had your pick of any of these running backs, who would you take, or would you just try to find an Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah, that one's easy for me. It's Saquon Barkley. Dan, his pass protection's got a lot better. 288 catches in his career so far. If I'm Dallas, I think he's bigger than Zeke and faster than Tony Pollard. And, you know, the old axiom, let's pass the score and run to win. I think Saquon to Dallas, plus you're hurting your division rival, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I've been saying that. It just feels like that's going to happen. But I think I'm basing that off of Jerry Jones, and it's a shiny object. And, you know, Jerry loves that. Now, he would help them. But how much are you paying Saquon Barkley? Does he get a 3-year deal?
I think it's $10 million a year. I think these running backs are just hurting each other when you have Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs out there, let alone, you know, A.J. Dillon. There's just more supply than there is demand right now.
Help us understand the Bills cutting, you know, a couple of defensive backs. Seattle's doing this. Denver just cut an all-pro safety. The cap went up. Why are these teams cutting these defensive backs?
Yeah, the threat is easy. It's quarterback. You know, Russell Wilson, they got to accommodate $85 million in dead money. Josh Allen is obviously at the top of the market. And with all these, as you mentioned, Xavier McKinney's out there, Cameron Curl, there's so many safeties out there. It's going to be a microcosm of the running back market where teams are going to say, you know what, if we have to go rent a guy in June, we'll go get a guy in June and plug him in for a year. It's just not a position we need to pay right now.
And it feels like Buffalo put even more pressure on Josh Allen. So your defense probably isn't going to be as good, and now you're asking Josh Allen to be even better.
I think really what they're saying is we're going to outscore you. We're going to be able to rush the passer. We're keeping Von Miller. We're going to pass rushers and offense, and that's who we're going to be. And we got Josh Allen, and we can't not give him what he needs to be successful. I think when you look at Tre'Davious White in particular, he's a great player. He's just been hurt. And who's to say they don't get him back later on? It's hard for me to think that a team's going to go pay Tre'Davious White coming off of the two injuries he's coming off of. So I think with some patience and maybe some good fortune, maybe they get back, you know, one or two of those players, you know, later in the offseason.
What would you tell Russell Wilson?
How much do you love football? You're going to make $300 million in your career, $39 million this year not to play. Do you want to go to a non-obvious place, Dan, such as San Francisco, the Rams, sit behind an established player for a year? Or do you go off into the sunset? What's fascinating to me is we're going to learn how much he loves football in the coming weeks.
Okay, but so you would suggest maybe go and sit behind Matthew Stafford with Sean McVay as opposed to Atlanta or Pittsburgh?
Well, I think in those situations, they're hoping that you don't play because we're drafting, you know, fill in the blank or trading for Justin Fields. I think go learn a new offense, get in the best shape of your life, and then resurrect yourself that way and take a year going under the limelight. You know, I think that would actually help him a little bit to sort of like take the noise down a bit.
I know you're busy. Thanks for joining us as always, Mike.
Really appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's Mike T, Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN front office insider. That's interesting. Now, I wouldn't suggest going to San Francisco because you have Brock Purdy, but I could understand going to the Rams. I think that helped, you know, Baker Mayfield when all of a sudden, you know, you get to see the game through different eyes, a different set of eyes, learn some things, figure out what you've been doing wrong. Yeah, Paul.
But could you imagine, I don't know who Russell Wilson's agent is, but his agent going, hey, how about this? You choose to sit behind a guy who also has one ring and is about the same age as you for a year. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, but I can't imagine an agent suggesting that to Russell. I think Russell thinks of himself like a star quarterback.
Well, he's still going to get paid.
Yes.
He's going to get paid. And if you, I guess you got to figure this out. Does going to the Rams as a backup quarterback change the perception of you? Because he's viewed as self-centered. It's about him. He's more than just a quarterback. He, you know, had an office. Denver gave him all this stuff, and then Denver went, wait, what did we give you? And then all of a sudden they're like, we need to get rid of this guy. He can still play. The numbers, those are better than average numbers, not for the amount of money that you're going to pay him. And I think that's where you have to, if it feels like Mike Tomlin would say to Russell Wilson, hey, dude, I'm gonna set you straight here, and I'm gonna make you a Hall of Famer, and maybe we get a chance to compete for a Super Bowl. But you have to follow me, okay? I'm the coach. You follow me, and if you do that, I'm gonna resurrect your career. I don't know about Atlanta with Raheem Morris. You know, if Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, like I don't know about those places, but Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, I'd feel pretty confident. But they haven't done a good job in getting quarterbacks in Pittsburgh. But this is a situation where you have a quarterback. He just needs almost like a mental reset. He needs to kind of go back to, let's be a team player. It's not about you. It's about us winning again. And if you listen to me, I'll make you a winner again. Let's see. Joe in Texas. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. First time, long time. Hey, Dan Anderson, Fritzy. So I wanted to chime in on Caleb Williams' situation about sitting for a year.
Okay.
I'm 64. I just turned 64 on leap day, so I've been watching football. I'm a Niner fan. Hey, Marvin, I've watched quarterbacks be groomed, and back in the day it was usually for a reason. They had a good quarterback. Got him in the draft. He's good. He can sit like Rodgers and Mahomes and these guys. But who's Caleb going to have? I mean, if I'm going to go all in, got the first draft, first pick, and I'm going to get rid of Justin, I mean, you mentioned CJ being a rare commodity. Well, isn't Caleb? Pretty rare. Pretty rare commodities. According to everybody in the media, at least most everybody, he's the greatest thing since peanut butter. And I take you guys like I do Google. If you say it, it's true. So I say you trade Justin and you put Caleb in, I go all in. We give it a try.
All right. I mean, you just heard Mike Tannenbaum. He said 100% agree with Ryan Leaf. I'd sit him. Why are we in the rush? Well, the reason we're in the rush is the team that drafted number one is usually a bad team. We want them to get better, quicker. We don't want to wait. Yes, Marv.
Do you put Caleb Williams as third string just in case the starting quarterback plays so awful where they're like, we have to put our second string in? But the plan is we're going to sit him the entire rookie season.
Okay, who's my quarterback? That's what I want to know. Are you keeping Justin Fields and you're going to pay him $25 million? And then what? Are you hoping he plays really, really well, therefore you get a second-round pick for him instead of a third-round pick? Is it worth it to keep Justin Fields for one more year? It doesn't feel like there's a lot of, you know, trade opportunities out there for Justin Fields. And I think that's what Mike Tannenbaum is saying. Just let's go. Move on. Get rid of him now and then get ready to take Caleb Williams. I would just need to know, if Caleb's not starting, who is my quarterback that he's going to learn from? More importantly, that's what it is. Alex Smith was helping Patrick Mahomes. You had a veteran who had played at a very high level for the Niners as well. Yes, Pauline.
If you go back 3 years ago, you could find articles that suggest the Bears should do just that with Justin Fields. He's a run-first quarterback with great competitiveness and a questionable passer. When he came into the league, there's the reviews. The Bears should sit him for the whole rookie season. But you go back to like week 4, and Andy Dalton and Nick Foles are fumbling around Soldier Field. And the Bears fans are like, we got to bring this kid in. He's exciting. Remember him in the Big Ten title game? Mm. Remember him in the playoffs? And the fans in the moment hate discipline. They want to get the guy in. And the Bears fans are like, bring him in week 5. Let's go.
Yes. I mean, they don't have patience. But they've had patience for a long, long time in Chicago. Or they've been told, have patience. We got a new coach. We got a new GM. Oh, we got another new coach. Another new GM. New philosophy. Same result. Eric in Iowa. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Want to backtrack a little bit to the hand size. And maybe have Paulie or Seton give the listeners a description of how you measure that, and then maybe listeners can call in with their own hand size.
Well, they've been doing that, whether they're measuring their hands correctly, but it's from the tip of the pinky to the tip of your thumb.
Yeah, and you could put it down on a piece of paper and kind of spread it out, stretch your hands, put a little mark down, then take a ruler.
Yeah, and then we did that with Ray. Ray, the intern, did that.
Don't let your boss catch you in the office doing it.
Yes, measuring your hands. Yeah, what are you doing over there, Skippy? Nothing. Now, I think if I had a cool boss, I'd say, I don't know. I'm just going to measure my hand size. You know, how about you, Tommy? How about you measure your hand size there?
So what are you guys working on?
Yeah.
just measuring our hands.
Wait, we got a big Zoom meeting tomorrow. I mean, we got a PowerPoint we got to get ready for.
Client proposal been?
HR comes walking down. Yeah, I heard you guys been measuring hands.
Hand size. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if you did a PowerPoint and all of a sudden somebody's hand was up there on the screen? It's like, that's not supposed to be there. Hand size. All right, we'll take it. Remember when guys would sit on the copier? They'd pull their pants down and they'd sit on the copying machine?
I missed that window.
Oh, my bad.
What, at the office?
No, this was like high school. Oh. Yeah.
You guys used to put our faces there.
Yeah, we did. Ooh, well, sorry about that.
Yeah, I hope I went first.
Yeah. cheek to cheek. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.